if there's one consistent and persistent theme throughout the scriptures, is the subject of prayer. And you can imagine, in a book this thick, there are lots of themes that deal with the subject of prayer. Even the book of Psalms and Lamentations are two books that have nothing but prayers within them. And so prayer is a very common and at times perhaps even a very contentious thing throughout the Bible. But one thing that cannot be denied is that prayer makes a difference. We hear in our first reading the conversation that Abraham has with God in his intervention for the despicably immoral city of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Moses' prayer that saved the people of Israel from utter annihilation at the hands of God's wrath after they worshiped the golden calf. God was ready to wipe them out, but Moses' intercession and intervention for them changed God's mind. God heard the prayer of Hannah, who had been childless, and blessed her with a son who became Samuel, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And we need look no further than the prophets to see not only their teachings, but their fervent prayers for their people. That God give justice to the just, punish the wicked, rescue us from our enemies. The Bible is replete with prayers, and Jesus himself was no stranger to it. Even he, the Son of God, went off by himself to pray, and there is where we find him at the beginning of today's gospel. And of all the different themes and subjects of prayer that we see in the scriptures, Jesus gives us three. Basically just three, at least at this part of the gospel. He gives us others at other parts, but we'll limit it just to what we have in today's gospel. He gives us words to use. He assures us of the fruits of persistence. And then he instructs us on the disposition we are to have when we pray. Usually when we think of that one question that Jesus has asked, Lord, teach us to pray, we tend to think solely of the Our Father and pretty much leave it at that. And in the Gospel of John, we have an Our Father that's not quite as familiar to us, a version from the early church that we aren't as familiar with because we tend to follow what Matthew presents to us, and he and Luke are the only two who present us with an Our Father. The words of that Jesus gives us in the Gospel of Luke are a little more shorter and to the point. But he gives us a prescribed prayer to pray. And perhaps that is the kind of prayer we are the most familiar with. When I ask people, do you pray? Sometimes they say, well, they pray the rosary. And what is the rosary? Our Fathers, Hail Marys, Glory Bees. There are other more prescribed prayers that we say, some to the Blessed Mother, the Hail Holy Queen, the Memorare, in addition to the Hail Mary, the prayer to the Holy Spirit, various prayers to certain saints. And sometimes when people pray, they simply get the words in, they say the words of the prayer. But Jesus takes that a step further, and some perhaps even among us here. I certainly try my best, I don't know how successful I am, try to bring our prayer to more than just the simple words that we pray, but the disposition that we have in that prayer. And Jesus takes it to the next level when he tells the story of the friend who knocks at midnight. And that goes along with a very, very popular and well-known, and in some cases bone of contention, from the Gospels. A phrase that we are all familiar with when Jesus speaks with regard to prayer, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. But even that prayer, sometimes people will ask me, Father, it says this, and I've asked and I haven't received it. Jesus tells us, ask and you shall receive. How do we understand that? Well, what does Jesus say before, and what does he say after? What he says before is the parable of the friend who knocks at midnight. And one lesson we learn from that is, you aren't necessarily going to get what you ask for when you ask for it. And he doesn't want us to lose heart when we don't get the results of our prayers at our own good time. And he basically says, the persistence is what ultimately pays off. Not giving up, not losing faith in God simply because we don't get what we want, when we want it, the way we want it. And then what he says after that phrase, I always think is that real catch to ask and you shall receive, because he says, which of you would hand your son a serpent when he asks for an egg, or a scorpion when he asks for a fish? Maybe I got them backwards, but that's the gist of it. But I like to actually twist it just a little more. How many, and if you want to raise your hand, you can raise them, how many here would give your son a scorpion if he asked for a scorpion? Or a serpent if he asked for a serpent? Not many of us would. Not many of us would. Or any of us, for that matter. And Jesus emphasizes, yes, ask and you shall receive. But nowhere does he say we're going to receive what we are asking for. Seek and you will find. But that doesn't mean we will find what we are looking for. Knock and the door will be open to you, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the door on which you are knocking. God answers our prayers, but sometimes he doesn't answer in the way we would have those prayers answered. Some of you may remember the TV show Touched by an Angel. There was a wonderful episode with John Delancey, who many Trekkies know played the character of Q on The Next Generation. And this was a man in a farm community that was suffering from drought, and he decided to sue God in open court because he had been praying for rain and the town had been praying for rain and no rain had come. What he was hoping to accomplish, I'm sure, I don't know, but God apparently responded by sending Monica and Della and the whole team. Della showed up as the attorney for God and put Monica on the stand. And at one point, Monica assures the farmer. She says, God has heard your prayer. God has answered your prayer. And the answer is no. And that speaks a great lesson to all of us with regard to the disposition in which we have when we offer our prayers to God. Are we just rattling off words? Jesus obviously encourages that. He gives us the words of the Our Father, and we have an endless parade of prescribed prayers that hopefully we're all very familiar with. We even have prescribed prayers here in the celebration of the Mass to unite us together in a common phrase or a common prayer that you either say together or that I as a priest say in your name. But also when we go to God in prayer, he calls us to have a deeper disposition than the simple recitation of words. Remember, in another part of the gospel, he says, don't babble on like the pagans who think they will earn a hearing by the sheer multiplication of words. But the solution he gives to that is the disposition that we have. We offer our prayers to God. We make our petitions. We intercede, just as Abraham does for Sodom and Gomorrah, like Moses did for the people of Israel. Hannah prayed for herself so that she would have a child. Mary offered prayers of praise to God. The Psalms give us any number of types of prayers, including prayers of petition. But we are called to remember that God is God. God is not an imaginary friend that we make in our own, to our own liking, in our own image. But that in praying, we always leave the ultimate, final answer to God himself. We pray that God will answer our prayers if we pray for rain during a time of drought, or a better economy during a recession or depression. But also, we must pray as Jesus says, how much more will he give you the Holy Spirit, which might give us insights as to why we aren't getting what we want, when we want it, the way we want it, or to rejoice when we do get what we want, when we want it, the way we want it, which is not completely beyond the realm of possibility. But let us pray that as people of prayer, we will grow in that, not just with the words that we say, but the disposition with which we present ourselves to God. And sometimes that disposition is simply saying nothing, but simply being in that presence, being in the presence of Almighty God, and remembering that God is with us, that God loves us, that God knows our needs, and in the end will give us what we need in God's own good time, according to what God knows our needs are. So let us, as we come together, as we continue this act of worship, with very prescribed words that we pray together, and words that I pray on your behalf, let us look at our disposition as we come to worship before God, as we come to God in prayer. And in deference to today's gospel, the two basic things, that we ultimately leave all things to the will of God, even as we do pray for our special needs, and that we don't lose hope, that we are always encouraged, even when God doesn't answer at the time that we may be praying for something, but that persistence in the end will pay off, as it does in today's parable of the friend who knocked at midnight.